Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today our sermon title is Doing Life with God, and the passage is taken from Isaiah 55. So it's from the Message translation. I'm encouraging you to also take out your Bibles and read along. So let me read from this. Isaiah 55. Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway, buy and eat. Come, buy your drinks. Buy wine and milk. Buy without money. Everything is free. Why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me and listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. Seek God while he is here to be found. Pray for him while he is close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. Verse 8 to 11. God decrees, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as high as the sky soars above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as the rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they have watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, in the same way, my word will not come that come out of my mouth do not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I send them to do. They will complete the assignment I give them. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your compassion, Lord. We thank you for your love. And this morning we ask that once more you impress on us the wonder and the amazement that the gospel message is, Lord. And I pray that you teach us in your own way and you speak to us to walk with you so that we indeed may drink more deeply of the living waters that you have promised us. All this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. So good morning, brothers and sisters. As you may know, today is Gospel Sunday or Evangelistic Sunday. So welcome, old friends and new and those who are listening online. I always enjoy Evangelistic Sunday because even though we've been Christian for many years, I realize I enjoy listening to the gospel preached again, and it makes me think again about my faith and why I'm still a Christian. And this is actually biblical because we are told, the scripture there is a bit small, that we should be ready to give an account for this hope that we have. And in listening to other people, I have to ask myself, what is this hope I have? Yeah. So the last evangelistic sermon we had, Pastor Sarah came, and one phrase she said stuck with me. She said, knowing God or the gospel is the best thing that ever happened in my life. The best thing ever. I thought, wow, what a statement. And I wondered, can I say that? Can you say that? If somebody asks you, why are you still Christian? Can you say, hand on heart, you know, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah. Another testimony I heard, there's a local singer called Miss Lou, L-O-U. So she gave a testimony. I think by now she's in her early 30s. She only became a Christian in her mid-20s. And the line that she said that stuck with me was that when she heard the gospel, she said, wow, how come nobody ever told me before? Why hasn't anybody told me about this gospel or this God? And I thought, okay. A lot of times we might be ashamed. Pastor Zhang Li preached last week about sometimes we feel shy to speak about the gospel. But I think when we hear people say, why didn't anybody tell me? And it was life-changing for her. So this morning, as I frame my sharing, I'm sharing with you because you will also be asked one day, why are you still a Christian? What's so great about being a Christian? I know, yes, there's eternal life when Christ comes again, new heaven and earth. But for the here and now, it should make a difference, right? And if you're explaining to someone who's not a Christian, they may want to know here and now, what is the relevance of God to me? So what's so great about being a Christian? And I encourage you to think about it as I share my own thoughts. So this song from Sunday school came to my mind. If you are my generation, you might remember it, or if not, you can YouTube it. So I'll just sing a little bit of it. The song title is called Have You Ever Talked to God Above? And I think it encapsulates the childlike faith. And actually, I agree with every line of it. Yeah. So it starts with, Have you ever talked to God above, telling Him you need a friend to love, pray in Jesus' name, believing that God answers prayers? Have you told Him all your cares and woes, every tiny little fear He knows? You can know He'll always hear, and He will answer prayers. So I love that song. I think it still encapsulates what I feel today with me and my Heavenly Father. So this sharing will have three parts to it. Firstly, I'll talk a bit about why we pray, more accurately, how come we can pray. And then I have some practicalities and ideas to share. And then I will share, part three would be my own take on unanswered prayers. Okay. So why pray? I think many of us maybe take for granted that we can pray. And if you came from other backgrounds or if you're not a Christian, prayer is not a foreign idea to you. In our culture, there are many religions and there's always prayer in them. Some people go to the temple and some people pray a certain number of times a day. I think that today I'm going to frame prayer as communication with God. So the title today is Doing Life with God, not a life sentence, but doing life because we can know about something. That doesn't mean that we can walk with it and live with it. For example, many people you admire and respect, like your family members, you love them, but not easy to live with them all the time. So who do you do life with? You do life with the people you live with. You do life with maybe your church people. You see them every week. You say hello. You do life with your colleagues because you have to work with them on projects. You see them at the water cooler. You say hello. So this is what doing life means. Yeah. And you may think, for example, you hear like a company is very good, makes a lot of money. But do you want to work there? It depends, right, on the culture. Do you want to be part of that place? So today I'm trying to talk about the God that you can do life with. He's not just on the throne, but really every day, not a foreign God. Communication is really tough, isn't it? So when you try to explain to the people, they misunderstand you. Project teams, you say A, they heard B. Yeah. Even with people you love, you really love. Also, sometimes language, culture. If you know people who are in interracial marriages, you understand. People cannot understand their in-laws with all the good faith and love, but just cannot communicate. So is it any surprise that when we and God are so different, that the communication is not easy? It's not. Many movies, you know, West Side Story, girl and boy meets wrong side of town, then everybody disapproves of the relationship and so many clashes. So we and God are so different that it's very hard to communicate. Yeah. And some people said prayer is taken for granted. No, it's not. Actually, no. And our nature is not. There are two types of people, those who find it easy to pray and those who don't. I disagree with that. I think at one point in time, all of us find it hard to pray. All of us. Yeah. Sometimes I also think nowadays, at least in the training sector, we talk a lot about artificial intelligence and generative artificial intelligence. You feed something into ChatGPT and it gives you an answer. Yeah, you give, then if it doesn't give you what you want, you just adjust your prompt a little bit. So we run classes on how to put in prompts to write a lesson plan, how to put in prompts to do rubrics. And then you don't like, then you adjust. Unfortunately, God is not ChatGPT, and He is very rewarding to talk to, but is by no means easy. So talking to God hasn't always been quite so difficult. It used to be a bit easier. At the start of the Bible, our omnipotent, omnipowerful God created heaven and earth, and He also created us. Actually, He created our ancestor, Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden, and we're told that God walked with them and talked to them. He gave them some jobs to do. And I think that could be quite idyllic. Imagine you talk and walk with God in the garden every day. You can see Him. I imagine it's very easy. But that good state didn't last because God told Adam and Eve not to do something, and they disobeyed Him. And for that, they were actually told that they would die. They didn't physically die, but they got thrown out of the garden. And you might say, well, God lied. They didn't die, what? But to be cut off from God actually is a form of spiritual death. And you can also see it as, is it God didn't keep his threat? Like parents, you say, if you do this, I will do this to you. Or do we see it as God giving them and us a second chance? I give you a chance. You didn't listen to me. You disobeyed me. And the consequence of that rebellion is many things, including the earth being very hard to farm, childbirth being difficult. But one consequence that that threat I'm following today is that we are no longer doing that walk with him, talk with him thing. Yeah. So actually after Adam and Eve did the deed, they hid, and then God came and said, Adam, where are you? So do you think God was saying, hey, what's your GPS? Where are you? Are you behind that tree? No, he's not saying that. He knows where he is. Yeah. He's actually saying, he knows Adam is hiding already. So that is the start of God and us not being able to interact so well. But because God is all-powerful and God loves us, as history continued, even though man was out of his garden, there were a series of workarounds. So if you read your Bible, the Old Testament is full of all these workarounds. Like you roll out a software, then it doesn't work, then you patch it, yeah? Yeah. But just like Gen AI, the fatal flaw in God's plan, it's always the human in the loop. It's always us. So what was the workaround for being able to talk to God? So instead of talking to God directly, I'm taking the example of Solomon's temple because there's the most detail in it in the Old Testament. So in order to talk to God, you had to go to a specific place. There's a temple. Okay, and then you have to go through a series of routines, sequences. And not everybody can go and talk to him. You have to be part of the lineage of Aaron because they were appointed to be priests. And even if you're a priest, then you have to do certain things. For example, you have to burn, offerings on the altar. Perhaps as relatively modern people, this idea of sacrifice and altar doesn't seem very appealing. When you think about altar, what do you think about? Korean barbecue, things smelling burnt, yeah. So let's be real here. But the offering on the altar, by the way, is symbolic because the gap still exists. But the workaround is that God says that you have broken the relationship. But if you come and say sorry, that's what confession is, and you give me an offering, which is could be the meat or the dove, depending on how rich or poor you were, then I will accept that and I will allow you to speak to me. And people might say, wow, why so strict? You know, now we're very casual, flat hierarchy. The CEO has all these dialogues. Why can't he just chill? Why must be so strict like that? He can't because he's God. And he's a holy God. And his very essence of holiness requires certain protocols. Yeah. So we have to put on that mindset. But he wants to be with us. So these are the conditions at that period of time. It's so strict that if you read on, if people anyhow try to present the offering, there are consequences. So I think King Uzzah got impatient. He was waiting, the priest or the prophet haven't come. I tell you what, I just offer myself. So he paid for that. He didn't die, but God did strike him on the spot with leprosy, and he lived with that leprosy for the rest of his life. So that is a symbol of the unholiness or uncleanliness. So did this workaround work? Got temple, got incense, got priests, all the whole thing lined up. No, actually it didn't. Spoiler. It didn't work because God still says obedience is better than sacrifice. After you present your offering, I still need you to live a life that is in line with me, a holy God. That is the whole point. You don't come do the offering and end our story. And the Israelites were not able to do it. So Bible is full of stories. There was one or two good kings. Then after that, one after another, kept disobeying God, kept doing what he said not to do. God says, when you wipe out this village, I want you to kill everybody. No, Israelites didn't. They decided to take good stuff for themselves. Said, don't marry women who are not worshipping me. Don't listen to him. So it just got worse and worse. So God's workaround, because no thanks to us, the human in the loop did not work. And why didn't God just take the human out of the loop? So troublesome. make us like robots? Yeah. Why doesn't he make us like angels? Yeah. No? Do the angels have free will? They don't. They don't. Angels are created to do the will of God. They're his emissaries and messengers. But angels are not the sons and daughters of God, and we are. And some of you who have sons and daughters may understand that you want to give your children the choice of following you, of loving you, because that's the expression of your love. But when they're not able to love you, they're not able to, they just can't. You keep supporting them, you keep helping them, you keep encouraging them, and they can't do it because it's just them. And you can't drop your standards because you are you. So the slide shows that big chasm between God. So some songs will sing how great the chasm between us. And then how? No solution. End of story. Again, another spoiler is that God is an endlessly creative God. So who's going to bridge the gap? Aaron couldn't make it because the people Moses and Aaron were leading were just very difficult. We are very difficult. We are. So God's solution is, you can't fulfill your part of the contract, I will give you something to help you. The workaround or the stopgap I prescribe, you also cannot fulfill. So how? Okay, I give you the ultimate negotiator, missionary stopgap, which is Jesus Christ. And this emissary or intermediary is not like any of the others. Yeah. Because he is Son of God. So if you are not familiar with the Christian faith, the idea is that God is a person, God is an entity, but he can come to us in different forms. In the Bible, one form we see is that of Jesus Christ. Another one is the Holy Spirit. But I'll stick with Jesus for now. So he put part of himself, and all three are the same but in different forms. You can think sort of like how you can have water vapor as well as liquid water as well as ice. But they are all in line with each other, but they have very slightly different functions if you read the Bible about what their role is with us. So Jesus was sent by God, and he could do it because he's Son of God. But he could also represent us because he's Son of Man. You can't have someone who's not you represent you. It doesn't work that way. And that's why you had to do both. And this is such a fiat accompli because, as we said, communication is difficult when you are of different ranks. So are we willing to go down to somebody else's rank to can communicate better with them? It takes a lot of humility. Yeah. And, for example, you want to serve migrant workers. So you try to go to their gathering, speak to them. But would you be a migrant worker? Can you imagine Son of God come down to earth, live the human life? And on top of that, he died so, I want to say spectacular, but I'm not sure that's a good word. Yeah. So in line with him bridging the gap, he was offered up because Christ, as Son of God, agreed to come and represent us, and he agreed to die for us. That is him substituting us. Because we had broken the relationship, by right, we should die. But because God loves us, he said, I will send something, so someone to take on that for you, so you don't have to die. And that is the role of Jesus Christ. And that's why we sing all those songs to Jesus. Jesus had a choice. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have, but he agreed to do it. He went on the cross. Could he have come down the cross? He could have. What kept him up there? His love for us. That's what kept him up there. So now that Jesus is in the picture, the Bible tells us that he died, he rose again. And it is because of him that we can now have access to God again. And that's how costly this access is. Talk about communication with God. So this is God's solution. And these are some verses from the Bible. So God on one side, all the people on the other side, and then Jesus Christ, himself, man, between them, bring together by giving his life for us. Another verse, how do we do this? This was done for all men, but if you want to take advantage, if you want to make yourself part of this story, you actually have to make a step. You already have a Heavenly Father. We already have Jesus. But to do that, we have to tell God, I believe in Christ. I have faith in you. I understand this is a very big step. You might say, hey, why if I believe in Christ and I live as a Christian, then at the end, when I die, I realize, oh dear, it was all a sham. I lived it all for nothing. Well, my own response is that it's true that we will only know at the end. But if you really walk with God, then it will, from when you're starting, it will make a difference now. You don't have to wait until the end of your life to know if you made the right bet or not. So some of you might say, speaking of testimonies and the before and after, I forgot to say just now, some of you might say, I don't have this radical testimony in the way me also. I was born to a Christian family. I'm third generation Christian, always in Jubilee. And I don't have a before and after. I don't have like a before I was addicted to drugs or et cetera, and then now I'm, Pastor Sarah, when she came, she talked about how God healed her relationship, reconciled. So she had a very fragmented relationship. I don't even have that, so thanks be to God. But I will tell you that there is no before and after story for us as Christians. There is only after, 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 until we see God again. Because if you're really walking with God, it should be life-changing. He should be transforming you every single day. And if you look back and you wonder, oh, have I changed? Then you should see something. So that is what it means, true faith, as we walk with Him. There should be something happening. Other people might not see it. Many people who serve God in the Bible, outwardly, they were not very successful. Look at Paul, so tam, got whipped, shipwrecked. The life of the prophets were really terrible, really, really terrible. But in God's eyes, they were faithful, and they did what God asked him to do. So for us, when we come to God, we say in faith, we take it on trust, but we should also be seeing the work of God in our lives. And that work only comes when we approach God. We can go to Him. That is the linchpin or the gate through which to go, way to go. You have to go through Jesus Christ to God, without which you could pray other prayers, you could pray to other gods. But this is the nature of Christian prayer. And this is how come we can pray. It is free, but it was not cheap. And that's why when we pray, we always end with the phrase, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. We hide behind Him. We take hold of Him. Scripture also tells us He's seated on the right side of God. He is also praying for us. He's still praying, advocating, intercessing for us. So back to today's verse. It says, come, all who are thirsty, come to the water. In the scriptures, Jesus also talks about Himself being the living waters. So what is this living waters? He says, whoever drinks will never thirst. There will be a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now that living waters is God giving us, talking to us every day. Do we need His grace every day? We do, right? Do we need godly wisdom? Nowadays, the world is really very terrible. So many things happening. We do. Do we need His shalom peace? We do. So that's what living waters is. Dead water is still. Nothing comes in or out. Living water needs something coming in. So that is God. His grace, His mercy, His wisdom, His peace. And that fills us. And it's living, so it has to exit. So He gives us these things so that we can serve. We can build the church. We can speak to people. We can love people. And we can show this God that can model this God that we keep talking about. Yeah. So it's a age of good script writing or good writing that we're supposed to show, not tell. Show, not tell. It's very hard to do, by the way. A bit like teaching your kids, show, not tell. Yeah. So in the second part of this, I just wanted to share a bit that even though I have no dramatic before and after testimony, in the last few years as I reflect, I think God has really been growing my interior life. For various reasons, I've been able to do a lot less in actual activities, but He has shown me, as I seek Him, let's just say my internal garden looks a lot better than it used to a few years ago. And I'm afraid it's an occupational hazard. I can't just leave it like that. I need to address some practicalities. All of us know, it's good to pray to God, good to pray, but how? If you work with me on projects before, you'll know that I'm not a proponent of big changes. I like to implement things. I like small changes because I believe in the process and I understand and I've seen that after a while, if you hit in the right direction, the results will show. The results will show. So maybe it's fitting that as I share with you, these are the small things that I would like to share with you. This sermon is fairly personal in a way because who tells people what they talk to God about? Yeah, we're told we must not stand in the corner and tell people we're fasting or pray because only the Pharisees do that, right? And the other reason why I can't really tell you about my prayer life is some of the things that God tells me, I don't really know what He means. I sometimes get images and things, and sometimes only when I look back and I understand. That's why I journal everything down. Yeah, so that is sort of like asking you to tell someone about your relationship with your spouse or your father. It's a series of very small interactions. Yeah. So this is my attempt at giving you a glimpse into what prayer means to me, and I hope through that the God to whom we all pray. So practicalities, FAQ, what do I say to God? I try to pray to Him, look at my watch, only 2 minutes, alamak. I got nothing to say to Him, how? Okay. So these are some of my prompts that I'm going to use for this part. The most difficult step is to be still before God. I don't need to tell you this, you already know. And this posture or this skill or habitude of stillness isn't just for praying with God. You understand, when you talk to people, you have to give them eye contact, right? You have to acknowledge. You can't be looking around the room to see someone else or what's happening. Yeah. So for me, what has really been helpful is that in order to improve my vocals, I tried some breathing exercises. You can find some free apps. So about 10 minutes, breathe in for 4, breathe out for 4, do it morning and evening. So the happy side effect of that is that I actually find I'm able to calm down a lot more. So just breathing in and then breathing out. I've also tried some very mild qigong movements because it's really hard to sit still and do nothing at all. I can't, my mind wanders. So you can go on a walk and then talk to God. I pray very well when I'm driving as well. Yeah, it's a bit unfortunate sometimes when I'm driving and I just get lots of thoughts and ideas. Yeah, but maybe if you are taking the MRT or taking a bus ride or a coach ride somewhere, some people find it useful to light a candle, essential oils, or a certain part. So this is the centering down part. Like things that are basic, it is very difficult to do, but you have to start somewhere. And when you look at the other things that I share later, how to pray, the different prompts and all that, none of that is really, you need to start from the posture of quietness before God. You don't need to talk to God all the time. You don't even need to hear back from Him all the time. Your loved ones that you spend a lot of time with, are you always talking? No, right? You should have a companionable silence. Yeah. So I understand that we're all very busy. So here are some inspirations, some ideas. Let's start with the left one. So the picture there is of somebody called Susanna Wesley. Yes, the last name sounds familiar, doesn't it? So she had 19 children. 9 of them died. She ended up with 10. So she was very busy. She married a very poor Anglican priest who never made much of himself. I shouldn't say that, who did not find great success in his ministry. So she had to take care of 10 children, and the way she prayed is that she would sit in her dining room table, then they wore aprons. So her apron, she would flip it up over her head, so it would cover her head. And under that tent of meeting, her children would just run around her, and they would understand she's not to be disturbed. And she would be like that for about 1 to 2 hours. On YouTube, if you Google Susanna Wesley prayer, then you can find a guy who replicated and tried it. It's quite entertaining. Sorry, I didn't bring an apron to model it myself. If someone who had 10 children can do it, then perhaps we need to rethink our own practice. It's said that her practice, through that her meditation and prayer was so strong that many people came to hear her talk about the Bible. If the last name Wesley is because out of her 10 surviving children, 2 of them, John Wesley is the founder of Methodism. Yeah. And then Charles Wesley is a great hymn writer. He wrote many, many hymns. Just Google. Google is your friend, Charles Wesley, including Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and last time in JC, the Methodists loved to sing this, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. The ACS boys will know. The one in the middle, the father of modern missions, William Carey, started life as a cobbler. It's not some artisanal art. It's really, back then it was really quite a low-class kind of job. And as he was mending shoes, imagine like you're in Mr. Minute, someone mending shoes, he would have the wall of, in his wall, he had, would have a world map, and he would be praying for different areas of them. In time, he also came to learn some languages, but you can read about his ministry as well. That's how he started that. And then lest you say, hey, how come all these people so long ago, so angmoh, so foreign, I have added there, have no doubt, our church is 140 years old. We didn't come here by our own strength. There are so many prayer warriors that we don't know about. You know, Ama Akong faithfully praying for us. So I put a picture there of Ivan's maternal grandmother. Correct, Ivan? Maternal mother. So known as Elder Ma. Sorry, maybe without the H. So she was a Jubilee elder. I remember seeing her when I was a child. Maybe y'all remember as well, wearing a cheongsam, pottering around. And she is said to have gotten up at 5 a.m. Every day to pray for the church. I think she stayed back in church as well on Sundays to pray. Yeah. So that is the legacy on which we are sitting. So making time and space for God, including becoming quiet. If we find it difficult to talk to God, it maybe is because we don't know Him enough. Have you tried talking to someone you don't know? Introduction is a bit awkward. Huh? So like, who are you? Where are you from? Common areas. You cannot talk to God. Well, what do you know about God? Of course you can't talk to God. You can't talk to God because you don't know what to talk to Him about. Yeah. God never talked to me. I don't hear voices. Yeah. You don't need it. You got the Bible. He talked to you so much already. Yeah. So may I suggest, okay, let's start from the low-hanging fruit. The verses, every Sunday, people faithfully come out here to preach the learning points, take them away, and then use that as the basis of your prayer. How good is a Sunday service? It depends on what happens on Monday, right? Was the worship good? Or like it too high, too low, too noisy, whatever. Well, yeah, so what happened on Monday? Did it impact your life? You should mind the Bible. We have a treasure that none of us, I think, are really fully understanding. If you do it well, actually it shows. Yeah. So what can you do? Take David's Psalm and pray about it. Yeah. You can also take promises from the Bible. Okay, offhand, many of us have been Christian many years. Can you, offhand, what's one promise from the Bible? Can you remember? Yes. So we should have many, many promises coming to mind because we should be praying through those. Those are promises for us today. For us today. Yeah. So for me, that comes to mind is the one that says, in this world you will have many problems, but do not fear because I am with you. Typical for a lawyer, conditional promise. Don't worry, I've got you. So you can also pray through the names of gods. Okay, how many names of God do you know? Yahweh, Father God. Again, Google is your friend. Yahweh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Raphael, yeah. Lord is my banner. Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts. You heard that before, Lord of hosts? Do you know what that means? No, right? Yeah, go and check it out. I used that recently, and then I went to research on it, and it was just amazing. Lord of hosts means that He's the commander of thousands, tens and tens and thousands of angels. Isn't that amazing? And that is the warrior power of God. So as you take hold of what we know, the names of God and what He's already told us, you will find that you are mining the Bible. Not in a systematic read through the Bible, 365 verses follow, but in a more organic way. I have put the last point there for sake of completeness, but you can think of that as perhaps less common prayers, part of prayer literacy. So crafted prayers, again, you can Google that, is a phrase where you seek God for what is on His heart. You can be specific. It should include Bible verses. You can agree with other people if you're working together on something. And then you use that to pray back to God. When we pray, we partner with God. But we have to ask Him first, what do you want? Because there is what He's told us here, but there's also the finer details only you can know. And that's what crafted prayers is. Yep. So I put some prayer prompts in here that may be helpful. To be frank, I don't use them very often, but you can have a look at them. I will say that for Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, there is one of the bullet points I find the least organic or the least natural. So if I won't think about doing it myself. Can you guess which one it is? If you're praying to God, which one do you least likely to? Okay, I'll tell you, it's confession. Yeah? I don't find it hard to adore, which is worship God, because I'm a worship leader and many songs I can do it. I don't find it difficult to thank God. Supplication is like petitioning, you're asking Him for things. It could include complaining and lamenting to Him. David did a lot of that, so it's asking Him. But to me, confession doesn't come very naturally. And for me, when confession has surfaced, if I spend long enough in prayer in a certain time, and then sometimes God will remind me of something, and then the confession or repentance comes after that. So that's just my experience. For the sake of completeness, I am again mentioning Lectio Divino. So this is where you soak in the Word of God, like marinating in it. Yeah, like some of you are beef fans, so you like marinate the beef for many, many hours. So this is one way you can try. The bilingual worship leaders and I had a session a couple of years ago. You can also talk to them. Or if it's something you or your cell group would like to try, you can have a chat with me or Pastor Enoch. You can do it in a small group, about 5 or 6 or so. Yeah. I have to say something about wordless prayers. You can be silent before God, but you have to be comfortable enough with Him. Yeah. You can also cry before God. At a teaching I heard a couple of days ago, I heard that the speaker said that tears are a gift from God. It's a gift I unfortunately have. Sometimes it happens in public, but normally in private. So tears are where you feel very strongly about something and you cry before God about it. It can also happen where you feel compassion for God's people or a certain area, maybe those who are trafficked or people who, there are a lot of wars right now, and as you watch the news and you feel for them, bring it before God. That's what the tears are for. The Bible verse I put there is from Romans, the passage where it says that if we do not know what to pray, then the Spirit Himself will pray for us with groans. The message translation says, if we do not know what to say, that the Spirit will pray for us. There's also another verse in James where it says, if we do not know what we are doing, which is a lot of us, we should ask God for wisdom and He will give us. Yeah. So this is it with wordless prayers. Actions with intentions is closer to prophetic prayer. I'm going to skip past that as well, but sometimes when you're praying, you may feel led to do certain actions. For example, once when I'm praying for the world, then I just feel like I have to... The movement is that of a globe. I don't always understand it. Sometimes I can, sometimes I don't. Yeah. So that is what the prayer is, the posture of our whole body. That's why in worship, there's music, but there's also things like dance and art. We don't practice it in our church, but other people do it. When you allow the communion with God to touch you and to express through your own gifts and talents. Promise coming to the end, sorry. So I can't talk about prayer without sharing my thoughts on unanswered prayers. It is a reality that not all our prayers are answered. So I bring us back to the verse on Isaiah. God says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. So some of my thoughts. I work in training and we do a lot of training on things like problem-based learning, design thinking, all about solutioning things. And a large part of solutioning is to reframe the problem statement. to reframe it. And when you frame the problem statement differently, sometimes you come up with different ideas and answers. So this is my reframing. So we might be focused on solutions, but actually God is not. He's focused on relationships. The relationship with us. Remember before this, the gap, that's his focus. So I'm so sorry to tell you that Jesus is not a cosmic life coach, although God really cares about your life. Neither is God your consultant, our consultant. You sit God down, consultants, you say, this is my problem, this is my budget, this is my timeline. How? Then the consultant gives you a solution, sometimes doesn't work, implementation, deployment plan, that chart, yeah. So God is not our consultant, he is so much more than that. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is omnipresent, omnipotent. Let's not make him into something that we want him to be. He can for sure solve your problem. But remember, his ways are not our ways. That's why he's God. So for him, the problem statement is, how do I have a relationship with these people? They are so difficult. And his solution, which he has already given us, is Jesus Christ. He already solved the problem, so the ball is at our court. From the here and now to forever beyond time and space, our sight is very limited, but God is not. From the problem owner to being part of the solution and partnering with God, God asks us to partner with him in prayer and in action. So we are just not just the passive recipients. And finally, sometimes we can be very outcomes driven, very Singaporean, very good at projects. Yeah, what outcome we want to deliver, learning outcomes, on time, on target. But God's not really prioritizing that. In the same way, he's not concerned about our daily comfort. Being Christian is not a luxury experience. Again, I'm sorry to tell you. You want to rate it? 10 out of 10, would you recommend? It's not a luxury experience, yeah. So God is concerned in the here and now about our obedience. And he's concerned with our spiritual fruit. And that doesn't always come together with very glamorous outcomes. I find that if we reframe our thinking this way, you don't have to wait until trouble comes your way. If you do it now and get to know God, then when you are facing something difficult, it will be a lot easier to connect with him. Why wait until you have no choice when you have this gift, the here and now? So this is the summary of what we looked at today. Why can we pray? Practical ideas and some thoughts on unanswered prayers. So brothers and sisters, we already have a seat at God's table. Come eat with me. All the sinners can eat with me. We already have access. He says, hey, you who are thirsty, come to the water. You no money, it's okay. You buy and eat. Why are you wasting your time on this junk food? Both in quality and quantity, it's nothing compared to what I can offer you. Already on the table. Pay attention. Listen to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. So whether you are seeking God or already a Christian, know that you can have much more than what you're experiencing. We should be able to say that this is the best thing in our life. Could I invite the worship team to come out as I go into... So following God should be life-changing. So this is the call for us today, a call to the thirsty. If currently you are maybe not a Christian, God's invitation, as it was to the Israelites, is to draw near to him. He has prepared the way already, so will you come to him? Will you take hold of it? And you can do that by saying, God, I want to know you better. I want to acknowledge you. I accept that my relationship with you is broken. I'm a sinner. I will come to you and I will listen to you. I will pray to you as my Lord and King. For those of us who have been Christian a very long time, talk to him more. So God says, my children, I have not abandoned you, but sometimes it feels like you have abandoned me. So if you're only on a nodding acquaintance with God, so the invitation is to go back to Him wholeheartedly. And can we do this in a way of, remember, relationships, communication, that we want to enjoy and appreciate Him and all that He's prepared for us, but we are not taking hold of it. And as the band plays, I'm going to lead us in a short time of prayer. Oh, Father of Heaven, how patient You are. How generous You are, Lord. Generations after generation, Lord, You seek us, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, that You help us to see You, Lord. We pray that You help us to receive You. And I pray that this morning, the scriptures, the sharings, Lord, that Your word indeed will water our hearts. I pray that it will produce fruit, Lord, budding, Lord, and out of this there will come bountiful harvest that You are pleased with. Because, Father, we know that Your word will not come back to You empty-handed, but it will complete the assignment that You gave. Father, will You hear our prayers, Lord, as we desire to know You more? Allow us to take hold of this living water, that we have access to this throne every day, every day. Come freely, without money, but bought at a great cost. And this is the access that we have. God is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to talk back to Him, to speak to Him, and to make Him part of your life. Because He really wants to show you that actually knowing Him is the best thing ever. It is the best thing ever. And we can do this because we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who bridged heaven and earth obediently and lovingly. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.